1 Samuel chapter 17. I want to read just a few verses, beginning at verse 40. And through 47. Then I'll tell you a story. And he took his staff in his hand and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook, put them in the shepherd's bag, which he had even in the scrip, and his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. And the Philistine came on and drew near unto David. And the man that bare the shield went before him. When the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth and ruddy and of a fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto David, Am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, Come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. Then said David to the Philistine, Thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield. But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee, and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air, and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you this day. We give you praise for the word of God I have in my hands, for the great stories that show your power, your faithfulness, your care. Lord, your blessing. I thank you, Lord, for everyone that's here. I pray that you'd bless every heart that's here. I pray for every child of God. I ask, Lord, that every child of God would walk out of here encouraged in the Lord. And then, dear Lord, I pray for if there be a soul that is unsaved, has not given their lives completely to you, trusted you with their soul for eternal salvation, that, Lord, you'll bring conviction to their heart and bring them to a place of salvation. Help them to trust in thee. Now give me a freedom and ease to speak that only you can give. And I'll give you praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen. I was just reading this. This happened to be in some of my readings this week. And as I looked at it, I thought, how I love the story of David. I do love this story, the story of David. I mean, you hear this quoted in all sorts of things. They write in literature, you know, the little guy against big government, David against Goliath. They write about how in the world can a citizen stand against the king or something like that. Or the little man up against the great big business, the great huge, tremendous corporations. Or we look at any other great giant in our lives. And they're giants in our lives. And you know, when I read this story, it is always such a blessing to me. Because it is such opposites. It's such an impossible task. Now, thinking about the giant, let's just think about Goliath for a minute. He's probably a man 40, 45 years old. He'd been a soldier, a warrior from his youth. He's a trained soldier. They even weighed his stuff. It was so big. You see, he was 10 foot tall. Now, you take a look at where the roof comes down. That's 10 foot. That's 10 foot. Yeah, that's one big man. Let me tell you, that's a big man. And he was big, and he wasn't just a tall, skinny fella. This is a great big man in proportion. He's a great big guy. He's killed I don't know how many men. He's got a helmet. He's got a breastplate. He's got a target on his back. He's got his knees are protected with armor. He's got a fellow that carries a shield in front of him, and he's 10 foot tall with a great big sword. Now, David wasn't a big man. Saul is maybe close to 7 foot, between 6.5 to 7 foot, because it said he was head and shoulders above all of Israel. That's how big a man Saul was. Saul was a great big man. But David, for all we read, was not a big man. He was small all of his life, and he was young. And the Bible, when it's describing David, it tells us that he's a youth. He's ruddy. He's sort of red-headed, fair-complected. And he said he had a fair countenance. That means he was a good-looking guy. You wouldn't have picked him for a fighter. If you were looking in David and you were picking him out, well, you might have picked Saul for a fighter. You might have picked Eliab, maybe David's oldest brother. Yeah, man, that looks like a fighter. But you wouldn't have thought of David as a fighter. But oh, he was a great soldier. You know, you can't always tell a book by its cover. Boy, have I gotten some surprises in my life when I looked at some of the covers that I've seen. As a preacher, as a school teacher, I remember the school teacher. I was at Mann, this little girl there. She's a good-looking little girl, but she dressed in black all the time. Man, she put black on her fingernails, black on her lips. She dressed in black, and she put out the word she was a witch. And the kids would whisper about her, and they'd come by. And I watched her, you know, sixth grade, seventh grade, come up walking down the halls. And I said, oh, that's going to be trouble. I don't want that thing in my class. I'm going to have trouble. Well, you know, I got her. I walked in that first day, and there she is sitting right there. She's got black everything, you know. I said, oh, man. That's one of the best little girls I ever taught. I don't know what she claimed to the other kids. I don't know what she really thought or what she believed with her, but she was one fine student. I never got a cross word nor a cuss word out of that girl. Always did her assignments. They were on time. Her cover didn't show really her character. And that's the way it is with a whole lot of us, you know. You can't tell a book by its cover. Now, you look at Goliath, and you see a man 10 foot tall in proportion like other men. They describe his things. They weighed out his things after they killed him, and they tell you how much they weighed. And he said the spear that he held was like a weaver's beam. It's a great big spear this guy's holding. Not only that, he's got a guy going in front of him to block the arrows that might come his way and whatever. This guy is a fighter, and you know he's a fighter. Now, I don't know how many of you have done much fighting. I grew up fighting. I grew up boxing. We boxed in my backyard, all the neighborhood kids. We just boxed one another till we were bloody and bruised, and then we'd quit and do it again next week. We did. I mean, we weren't mad at each other. We were boxing. Boxing was a big thing when I was young. You know what I know? I know that no matter how big you think you are, that other guy don't just fall out like they do in the movies. Catch him a real good one right on the chin, and if he doesn't have a glass jaw, he'll come back at you. You know, you see these 180-pound superheroes in the movies, and they go, pow, and the guy just falls out dead. Just knocked him out with one punch. That's movies. You ever watch a boxing match between two guys that weigh somewhat similar? Oh, man, they just keep standing up there, don't they? They just keep punching it out, and finally one might get the thing. Now, you can imagine, my friend, anybody wanting to go against Goliath. I mean, Saul, head and shoulders above all the army of Israel, a soldier himself. He was a great soldier. He was scared to death. I'm not going in the ring with... It'd be like me going in the ring with Joe Louis. In my prime, I wouldn't want to run from Joe Louis for 15 rounds. No way. He might catch me one time. He might actually get me in one of those corners. And then my brains would be addled for the rest of my life. I mean, you know. No. Nobody wanted to fight Goliath. None of you would have wanted to go. And I'm telling you what, Saul's trembling. He said, I'm not going down there. Old Eliab, his oldest brother, said, I'm not going down there. The other brother said, we're not going. The whole army. And this great big man, this soldier, you can look at him and see he's a soldier. You know how to tell a cat killing dog? Do you know some dogs can kill cats? You know how you can tell a cat killing dog? He's got scars all over his face. That's right. You see a dog, they say he's a real mean dog, no scars on him, forget it. He's a pansy, he's nothing. You see an old dog got scars all over his face, watch out for that one, man. He's killed a few cats in his day, maybe a coon or two or time or two. And man, I'm telling you, he's tough. You see the scars all over him. This guy walks out there and you look at him and you're scared to death. And the whole army is frightened. Man, what a great psychological warfare to bring a champion like that out on the field. Hey, send me a man. I defy your armies. Send me a man. Are there any soldiers over there? Are there any men over there? Anybody with guts over there? Send me a man that he will fight. And if he beats me, we'll be your servants. That's what he said. He said it for 40 days. 40 days. It's bad enough to be humbled one day. You know, I walked home with shame, and man, my ears would be burning. And boy, I'd be ashamed. I remember one time I got in a fight about the time I was dating Verlene, and this old boy beat the socks off of me. When I went home, my mother wanted to know what gang beat me up. Just one guy. But boy, he was fast. You know, you walk into a fight like that, you know you're in trouble. Here's this great big guy. He's a fighter from his youth. He's so huge that if he stepped on you or fell on you, you're going to be hurt. What a psychological battle he's doing. What shame was in those soldiers' hearts. And in their minds, they thought, I'm afraid. I don't want to go. Who'd go? And you know, I've thought about it an awful lot. I don't know that any one of them could have whipped Goliath. I'm sure probably Saul couldn't have. Maybe Eliab couldn't have. In the natural order of things, that was a tremendous psychological ploy to make the enemy afraid. We got David. He's the youngest of 8 sons. It doesn't tell us how many daughters Jesse had, but I know he had daughters because later on in the life of David, you're going to find Joab, Abishai, and Asahel, and they are the daughters of Abishai. I've forgotten the name, wrong name, but it's his sister, Zerah, yes. They're the sons of David's sister. So how many children Jesse had, we don't really know. But at this time, he's an old man. His 3 oldest sons are in that battle. David's his youngest son. He's the keeper of the sheep. He's probably 17 to 20 years old. If he's at least 20, he might have been in the army, but he had to be under 20. So he's 17, 18 years old. He's keeping the sheep. His daddy calls him in and said, son, I want you to take some supplies to your brothers. And by the way, take these nice cheeses to their captain. Hey, you ought to know how to get in good. Give your captain some cheeses. Buy your captain something. Give him a gift every once in a while. You know, a gift make a place for you sometimes. So David comes up to the battle. And he's thrilled to be at the battle, as most young men are. And he looks out there, and boy, they've set the battle in array. And then the battle sort of subsides, and Goliath walks out. And he makes his same speech. And David's listening. Listening to this man defy the armies of the living God. And he sees the fear all around him. Everybody's afraid. Who's going to fight him? Isn't anybody going to fight him? And he goes asking people around, said, who's going to fight this man? Won't anybody fight this man? What will be done to the man that fights this man? He said, oh, the guy that beats him, he'll be rich. Saul's already said, king said, he'll be rich. He'll give him his daughter to wife. Man, you'll be a son-in-law to the king. And he'll make his father's house free. No more taxes for daddy. I tell you what, that's a pretty good prize. Make you a rich man? Give the king's daughter to you to wife so that you're a son-in-law to the king, and your daddy pays no more taxes. Well, he kept asking, and he asked 2 or 3 people, and he kept on going, and his older brother heard him, and it made him mad. You know how older brothers are? Yeah, some of you do. Man, this young whippersnapper thinks he can do anything. And you've seen that spoiled kid. You know the youngest one is always spoiled, right? They generally are. And the older ones say, I had it harder in my day. Yeah, boy, it looks like you're being raised by grandma instead of mama, because mama wasn't that way. That's not the same woman raised me. I've heard stories like that. And David said, look, isn't there a cause? This man is defying the armies of the living God. Don't I have a right to complain that nobody fights him? And he asked again, what will be done to this man? And some people heard him, and they went and told Saul, hey, there's a guy over here. He's asking who'll fight this man. Saul calls him, bring him up. Hey, have I got a champion? Bring him up. And this young kid comes up. He's a handsome kid. He doesn't look like a fighter. I mean, he's handsome. He's sort of red-headed. You know, most Jews are black head and eyes and sort of swarthy complexion. He's sort of a red-headed, pretty boy. And young, too. And Saul said, son, you can't go up against this man. There's no way. You don't stand a chance. I appreciate your courage, but it's presumption, you know. You can't fight against this man. He's a soldier from his youth, and you're just a youth. And David said, sir, there was a lion came into my flock and stole one of my lambs. And I went out and I took that lion and I took the lamb out of his mouth. And when the lion came after me, I grabbed him by his beard and I slew him. There was a bear came after my flock, and he took one too. And I slew the bear. And the Lord delivered me from the paw of the lion, and the Lord delivered me from the paw of the bear, and he'll deliver me from this uncircumcised Philistine. Don't you love it? Oh, man, that inspires me. That sort of thrills me. When I hear things like that, I say, wow. Bible's very violent. I'm not against violence. I like violence when it's used on the right side. Man, I'm telling you, so Saul said, okay. So he puts his armor on him. Of course, Saul's a great big man. His armor doesn't fit. You know, he puts the helmet down, probably covers his eyes. Puts that coat of mail on him. He can't even bend around and walk. Straps his sword on him. He said, I can't go with this. So he takes it all off. He walks down to the brook. Takes his little shepherd's staff, walking stick. Walks down to the brook and picks out 5 smooth stones. Now somebody says he didn't have enough faith. If he had real faith, he'd just picked up 1 stone. You don't know your Bible. Goliath had 4 brothers. Now you got to understand some things. Goliath had 4 brothers. He picks up 5 smooth stones, puts them in his little shepherd's bag, and he goes down to meet the champion. And the champion looks at him. He said, am I a dog? You're coming to me with that stick? You're going to come out here to run me off like you would a dog with a stick? He said, I'm going to feed your carcass to the birds of the air today. And then it's right where I read to you. Remember the story? Let me read a little bit of it again. Then said David to the Philistine, thou camest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield. But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts. Verse 45. The God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air, to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And then look down at the last part of verse 47. For the battle is the Lord's. The battle is the Lord's. And David ran towards him. And that big giant came down towards him. And he's got a helmet on. But David pulls out that sling. Have you been noticing the news about Israel and the Arabs over there? They're using those same slings today. Just about that long. Put a rock in it about the size of a baseball. And they'll swing that thing and throw those right at tanks today. They're doing it. Well, old David had a whole lot of time to practice. He'd been out there with those sheep. Sheep don't talk much. Man, I'm telling you, he knows how to sling things. I used to do a lot of walking at nights, and I had a bunch of dogs bother me. I started carrying my old slingshot. And I got marbles. And I just carry some marbles in my pocket and slingshots. And you know what? After 40 years, I was still pretty good. I could make a dog yelp at 40 feet. And they would leave me clean alone. Well, David's practiced up. He's young. He's good. He's got it going, boy. And he runs up there and he's swinging that swing and he throws it. And it hits him right there in the forehead and buries itself there. You reckon he knew how to use a sling? That's as good as your 44 mag, man. And he falls flat on his face. And David runs up and stands on top of him. And he pulls, he doesn't have a sword. He pulls that sword out of Goliath's sword. And he cuts his head off and he picks it up by the hair of the head and he holds it up. Wow. And boy, the Philistines started running. Good night. If that kid can do that, what could the whole army of them do? And they take off running and there's a great victory. I mean, there is a great victory. They chase the Philistines all the way back to their cities, to their walled cities. They slay them right and left. They're coming and going. They come back. They spoil all their tents. That means they get whatever they left. Took their money, their watches, their wallets, their telephones, and all their TVs. They spoiled them. They got everything they had. Whatever clothes they had, whatever things they had, whatever swords they had, they got it all. And David walks back to Saul, and he has that head, and he carries it back to Jerusalem. And he keeps all the armor for himself in his own tent. I love this story. You know why? The battle is the Lord. You know the difference between David and all those other soldiers? He recognized that. Saul saw himself fighting the giant, and there's no way he could beat that giant. Eliab and the other brothers, they saw themselves fighting that giant. They said, no way. I can't beat that giant. Not on my best day. Not on my luckiest day can I beat that giant. I walk out there, I'm dead man. They saw themselves. But David didn't see it that way. Now, you know what most of us say when we slay the lion? I killed a lion. I'm tough. The few, the proud, the Marines. I'm tough. I killed that lion. I killed that bear. Don't mess with me. I'll get a tattoo on my arm showing I'm a bear killer. I'll get a tattoo showing I'm a lion tamer. Don't mess with me. I'm tough. I'm somebody. But that isn't the way David approached it. Do you remember what he said when he talked to the king? He said, "The Lord delivered me from the paw of the lion, and the Lord delivered me from the paw of the bear, and the Lord will deliver me from this uncircumcised Philistine, for the battle is the Lord's." Do you realize what he's done? He's defied the armies of the living God, not the dead God. He's not the God of the dead, he's the God of the living. And he defied the armies of the living God. And I come to you in the name of the living God. And he won. Great, great victory. Story outside the Bible is portrayed in all kinds of literature and people's thinking. David and Goliath. How many giants are in your life today? How many giants are in your life today? Oh, there are giants inside this room. Giants so big you can't fight them. Giants so big, every time you think about them, you tremble. Giants so big, they keep you hovering in your house because you're walking with fear and shame because you can't win the battle. Maybe it's a giant like drugs. Maybe some of you in here got a problem with drugs. Maybe it's fat. Maybe you just can't lose weight. You're so fat, the doctors keep telling you, you got to lose weight, and you can't lose weight. Maybe it's a divorce. Maybe it's loss of a job. I don't know what your giants are. But I want you to know, you may not can whip them, but God can.
Amen.
What sort of weapons did David have? He just had a staff, five smooth stones, and confidence in the living God. He said, "The Lord saveth not with sword and spear." The Lord saveth not with sword and spear. That don't mean there were no swords and spears in the camp. That doesn't mean that most of the people weren't killed with swords and spears. But you got to understand where your battle's coming from and what your weapons are. The weapons we go out against the giants in our land, they're not swords and spears. Talking to somebody yesterday, in trouble, a lot of pain. And I related an incident way back when. I remember a time when the devil had hurt one of my missionaries. Hurt him bad. And I was in pain. Mental pain. Anguish. I was so mad at the devil, if I could have gotten my gun and just blown him away, I'll have loaded it again and just pumped him in him. But you can't shoot the devil with a .357. You can't hurt the devil with a .357. And I began to think about it. I made a long trip. All that time, this stuff wouldn't leave my mind. And I began to think, you know what the devil wants to do? He wants me down. He wants the church down. He wants the Christians down. He wants us down. He wants us mad. He wants us hurt. He wants us bitter. The devil wins when you're bitter. I don't care what you suffered. I don't care how unfair it is, how unjust it is, how you cannot understand it. When you're bitter, the devil wins. And I begin to think, how can I make the devil mad? I want to give him a hot seat. When I praise God, the devil loses. When I thank God and praise God in the spite of my troubles, the devil loses. No matter what my circumstances are, if I praise God and thank God, the devil loses and God wins. What are your weapons today? Do you have any weapons today? Yes, you do. You have the Word of God.
Amen.
If you believe it. See, that's the key. You say you believe it, but do you believe it? You believe it enough to act on it? You believe it enough to live by it? You believe it enough to invest your life, your time, your money, the way it says invest your time, your life, your money? Do you believe it enough to trust God when you can't see the result or can't see the answer, or maybe you're living one day at a time? You have the Word of God and the promises of God. There are promises in this book that fit your problem right now. I don't care what it is. I've been preaching this book for 43 years, almost 44. You know what? I haven't come to the place I distrust it yet. I still believe it's the book. I believe it's the Word of God. I'm going to the judgment seat of Christ with what I have in my hands. It's a King James Bible, black back book you can buy most any store. You have the Word of God. And if you study the Word of God and find out what it says about your problem and deal with it according to what God says, you'll be a winner. I'm not saying all your circumstances will change. I'm not saying that person that you're having problems with is going to change at all, but it'll change you. And it might change them. Who can tell? Boy, I've seen some changes in my life. I've seen some circumstances that were absolutely impossible. Everybody told me they were impossible. I even believed they were impossible. And turn around a year or two later and everything has changed. We were in here this prayer meeting a week or so ago. One of the men, I think it was Randy, I'm not sure who, prayed for this little girl, been gone 6 days. Lord, it was an emotional prayer. He has a little girl. Bring that girl back to her family. And you know, when he prayed the prayer, you know what went into my mind? She's dead already. Probably went in a lot of other people's minds. She's dead already. But she wasn't. And the guy brought her back and turned her back to his family, to her family. You don't know what looks impossible to you, and no matter what the averages are, the percentages are, they don't really fit when it comes to prayer. You can put the averages and percentages into everything, and you'd be a fool not to look at them. But my friend, it doesn't fit when it comes to prayer. Because God Almighty is in the business of answering prayer. You were talking about Hannah this morning. We see David here with his confidence. I tell you what, you walk out with the Word of God and confidence in the message of God and the promises of God, and God will change your life. There are people inside this room that thought they had no hope. All over this room. Until God moved in their life. When God moved in their life, they not only had hope, they had a new life, they had a change. Some of them have a new marriage, some of them have new kids, some of them have new everything. The battle is the Lord's. If you make the battle the Lord's, and if you can get in on the Lord's battle, my friend, you've got every reason to have confidence God Almighty is going to do something. Weapons, His confidence. Look at a verse with me in the New Testament. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Now unto Him, the last word of verse 19 is God. So I would say the antecedent of Him is God. Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Now unto God, who is able, read that right, He's able to do all that we ask or think. He's able to do above all that we ask or think. He's able to do abundantly above all that we ask or think. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all. You can't think too big. You can't think too big. You can't think too big to stretch God. See, God doesn't get stretched with your little problems. You know why most of your little problems stay so big? Because you keep them yours. You're not confident that God can do it. You're not confident that God will come in on your side. You're not confident that God will hear and answer prayer. But it says He will. Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. That's the Holy Spirit of God. Is God going to perform a miracle for everyone? No, He's not. He's already proven that. Everybody's not going to get a miracle, but some of us are. And I tell you something else. Is God going to help a Christian that prays in faith? Yes, He will. If He doesn't change your circumstances, He'll change your mind. If He doesn't change the situation you think is so bad, so terrible, if it still stays there, He'll make you rejoice in it. There's victory in Jesus. There's another verse. Look over Philippians, just a page or so to the right. Chapter 4 and verse 13. Paul says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Now, I want you to understand that verse is taken sometimes as a great deal of pride when it's spoken by a Christian. Well, I would think that what David said, his brother had a right to think of him as being proud. I'll go. I'll fight that giant. But you see, what you see on the outside is his confidence to go. You don't know about his faith in God. The difference between pride and faith, pride says, I can do it. Faith says, I can do it through Christ.
I can do it through Christ.
And that's what David did.
David said, the Lord delivered me from the paw of the lion, and the Lord delivered me from the paw of the bear, and the Lord will deliver me from this uncircumcised Philistine. David's confidence is in the Lord. My, what a soldier he became. Maybe the greatest soldier in Israel, maybe the greatest soldier ever. Who knows? But he was a mighty soldier. He trusted in God. What can God do with you? I don't know what the giants are in your particular life today. You got some. You got some so big they make you tremble. You got some so big they put a yellow streak down your back about 6 inches wide, running all the way down from the top of your head to the bottom of the floor. You're scared to death. You walk in fear and trembling, just like the Israelites did when Goliath went out there and challenged them. What can your God do about this? What can your army do about this? I'll curse you by my gods. Oh, but my friend, there was one man in the army that trusted God more than he feared Goliath. I don't believe he walked out with Goliath with no respect. I don't believe he walked up against a lion with no respect or a bear with no respect. You'd be a foolish person to do it. But he walked out with confidence in the promises of God. And he didn't have near to read what you have. He didn't have near to read what you have. Do you read it? You know what? Some of you are getting plenty of food. I can tell you're healthy and strong and fat and full-fleshed. How much spiritual food do you get? God help us if we've got strong bodies and strong minds and weak souls. God help us if we got strong muscles and our hearts pumping aerobically fit and our souls don't have enough faith to trust the promises of God in the daily life that we live. God help us, because we are a spiritual people and we need spiritual victory. And there is victory there. There's victory for every child of God. There's not a single person in this room that cannot get victory through Jesus Christ. That's the truth. I know God can, I know God will, if you will. You know what he said one time? He said, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed. I've been planting my garden the last few weeks. Some of those seeds are so small. I have a heart. See, these hands weren't built to play the piano. Can you tell that? They were built for boxing. They weren't built for playing the piano. And they have a hard time holding these little bitty seeds, too. And I wasn't made to be a watchmaker either. You figure that out? Little bitty seed. If you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you could say to this sycamine tree, be thou cast in the sea, and it would obey you. You believe that? You don't. No, you don't. Oh, yeah, it's in the Bible. I believe it. Therefore, that settles it. Yeah, right. I wish it were so. Notice that subjunctive mood, you English majors. I wish it were so. Listen to me. God Almighty wants to get in on your side. God Almighty wants you to have a victory. God Almighty wants you to live in praise to Him. God Almighty wants you to overcome the giants in your life. And He wants others to see you overcome those giants in your life so they can rejoice with you and rejoice in God and enjoy the victory. It's ridiculous for a Christian church or a Christian family or a solitary Christian to walk in defeat before the giants of the land when they've got the living God as their God. My Christian friend, I don't know what your needs are, but you need to put them in the hands of God. You need to bring God into your situation. You can do it by simple faith. If you're here and you're not saved, let me tell you something. What looks impossible to you now, what you think cannot possibly change, is simply not true. God took my life and turned it around. Just literally changed it. I smoked from the time I was 5 years old till I got saved. I played football and I smoked 2 packs a day while I was playing football. I cussed. I gambled. I was hooked on gambling. I started drinking when I was way too young to buy it. And I've got people in this town right now who won't believe I'm saved. If Lendell Kincaid goes to heaven, they got a way in for sure. But there came a day when I met Jesus, and He saved my soul and He changed my life when I called on Him by simple faith. And He saved me and He changed me. And you that know me now wouldn't believe what I was or how I thought then. You can be saved today. Man or woman, boy or girl, I don't care how bad your situation is. I don't care how big the giants are in your life. You can be saved today. If you will, by faith, take Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Repent of your sins. Tell God, forgive me. Ask Him to come into your heart. He'll save your soul and change your life. Let's stand and sing number 249. 249, everybody singing. This altar is open, my Christian friend. If God has spoken any word of heart to your heart you need to deal with, would you come? My lost friend, you here? Man or woman, boy or girl, come down here and take me by the hand and say, I want to be saved. Will you do it? Heavenly Father, how we thank you for the promises of your word. How we thank you, Lord, for the blessings in our life. Oh God, what a change you've made in us. We thank you for what you've done, what you're going to do. I pray you will hear the prayers prayed in this place and answer them. I pray if there be a lost soul in the sound of my voice, they will come to you before it's too late. Bless this church. Bless these families and homes. Bless these children. Oh God, get honor to yourself through them. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. God bless you.